Up next on Opening Move, host Scott May speaks with Lisa Dassault, a development manager and standards architect at the Open Source Applications Foundation and co-author of the CalDAV Protocol, from IT Conversations. Hello, this is Doug Kay, the executive producer of IT Conversations, and today I'm excited to bring you another edition of Opening Move with Scott Mace. IT Conversations is underwritten by listener donations. Our audio content is delivered by Limelight Networks, the content delivery network for online broadcasts, music, movies, and software downloads, taking the cost and complexity out of internet distribution on the web at www.limelightnetworks.com. And now, here's the host of Opening Move, Scott Mace.
Welcome to Opening Move. I'm your host, Scott Mace, and my topic today is calendar interoperability. I'm at ApacheCon US 2005 in San Diego, and my guest is Lisa Dassault, who spoke here about calendar interoperability. I'm going to read a little bit of Lisa's bio from the Apache website. She's a development manager and standards architect at the Open Source Applications Foundation, where she's involved in the Chandler, Cosmo, and Scooby projects. Previously, Lisa came from Microsoft and from Zythos, an internet startup where she was development manager for 4 years. She's also been an IETF contributor on various internet applications protocols for 8 years now and continues to do this kind of work at OSAF. She co-chairs the IETF IMAP Extensions and Calcify, Calendaring and Scheduling Standard Simplification Working Groups. She's also the author of a book on WebDAV and co-author of CalDAV, an open and interoperable protocol for calendar access and sharing. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Scott.
First question, I understand that your interest in calendaring goes all the way back to high school and a talk with your dad.
It does. It's calendaring, and more generally, it's the ability of people to transcend distance with computers and computer networks. My dad wanted to make sure I wasn't going into engineering just because it was a lucrative career, but because there was truly something I was interested in doing. My dad's very passionate about his engineering pursuits, and he wouldn't do it if he didn't love it. So he asked me what I wanted to achieve, what goal I wanted to get the world to. I'd be asking me really big questions, and I was 18, but I had an idea, which was that there was these really cool BBSs where you could log on and chat with people who were 20 minutes drive away from where I was located. And I knew as soon as I experienced that a 20-minute drive away was nothing, that we could chat with people on the other side of the world and share documents with them and send them messages and, as it turns out, schedule with them too.
So how did you end up initially being part of the team building Exchange at Microsoft?
I got involved in Exchange through the Internet Services team. It doesn't exist anymore. It existed briefly when it was spun out of MSN and before it was absorbed by Microsoft, by the Exchange team at Microsoft. It was a team that was building Internet servers and services like chat and Internet-compliant email, personalization, and search. The chat server was the part that I got involved in because that went back to my, you know, personal mission statement. And I went to the IETF to propose some standards improvements for IRC. And that really didn't go anywhere, but I met some people who were doing some cool work in Exchange. So later when we got integrated into the Exchange team, I got to be the program manager for the WebDAV and calendaring support in Exchange.
What is WebDAV?
WebDAV stands for Web-Based Distributed Authoring and Versioning. It was originally designed to allow people who were working together on a website to edit pages through rich client applications and over a standard. HTTP almost allows editing the web through HTTP because there is the put request and the delete request, but there wasn't a standard way to browse the directories on your web server so that you could create a new file and change the ones that, and see which ones were already there to be changed. So the most important thing that WebDAV added to HTTP was the ability to browse directories called collections. In addition to that, the framework for metadata and the locking functionality are very powerful. So this allowed people to build general file sharing and content management applications on an internet scale using WebDAV.
We'll come back to WebDAV. Now, here it is December 2005, and we have a great deal of interoperability between email systems, web servers and clients, instant messaging systems, lots of other computing systems. Where are we at with calendaring?
Calendaring is lagging behind quite sadly and frustratingly. The future seemed imminent 8 years ago when the IETF had a calendaring and scheduling working group that had just successfully defined a standard for event and calendar information, and that was iCalendar, RFC 2445. From there, the working group continued full steam ahead to try to define a calendar access protocol. It would allow clients to interoperably talk to a variety of servers, access events, add new events, move them around, change them, set permissions on them, receive notifications when a reminder was coming up or when a new event was added. And unfortunately, this work was so ambitious and has so many unexpected complications that the working group never finished the protocol. The working group, in fact, dwindled as people found it more and more frustrating to work on, until it was down to a tiny handful of people and who couldn't even agree on what the spec meant because it had gotten so complicated. So I think that everybody thought during those 5 years that this problem was being worked on and it would be done imminently, and didn't bother to check on the progress and those people who had unfortunately spiraled into non-productivity. We eventually helped a reset happen with new specs and new people and bringing new people to review the specs into the process who weren't even around 5 years ago or who lost interest, who lost patience during that period. So we've had to start over again to a certain extent, but it's allowed us to make a lot of progress in the last 1 year.
During that time, have you seen a groundswell of demand for calendar sharing?
Oh, yes. The demand has been inspiring, but also it's painful to see how painful people's calendar software experiences are. When I talk to IT administrators at universities, they can have a half a dozen different calendar systems, one for the arts lecture or arts performance programs, and one for sports, and another one for staff scheduling, and two more in other corners of the university campus. And none of these systems can talk to each other, and none of the standard clients can talk to any of these servers, so there's different web applications typically for each of them. It's a management nightmare. Down at the personal level, people are extremely frustrated that they can't share their calendar with their spouse just because their spouse works at a different company.
What do we mean by calendar sharing? What's the goal here? Is it for you to be able to invite me to a meeting and for me to be able to send you an RSVP? Is it for us to conduct some sort of task management together? How do you decide what the problem is?
In the long run, we want to do all of those and more. Group calendars, public event calendars for sports stadiums, scheduling meeting rooms and other resources. But you're right, there has to be a serious amount of focus in order to solve first problems quickly in a sort of an agile standards development manner, if you will. And we have a pretty solid idea what the narrow use cases are for CalDAV. It's about mostly one person being able to create their own personal calendar and keep it up to date and share it with other people, not just publishing, but also allowing other people to add events if they have permissions. These use cases don't necessarily lead into all the other use cases, like, you know, scheduling a calendar for a stadium that is consumed by, you know, 100,000 people. But if we think about the solutions carefully, we can avoid making some obvious mistakes that would make that difficult to do later.
And for instance, in the session you just conducted, somebody said, well, can I integrate my contact list with my calendar so I can quickly see who's attending and who's not attending? I gather that you can only do so much in CalDAV and that this too is somewhat of a moving target.
That's right. Contact management is certainly not part of the limited calendar access goal of CalDAV, but that's one of the things that Cyrus Dabu, who is my co-author on CalDAV, wants to work on next. In fact, he's drafted a preliminary internet draft specification describing how to share vCards, which are contact information, on a web dev server. And it's very similar in spirit to CalDAV and should integrate nicely.
You compared Calendar Interop to a layered dessert. Talk about the ingredients. There's HTTP, we've talked about WebDAV, CalDAV. How do all these things fit together?
I just like dessert, so I thought it was a cool image. I don't like reinventing stuff that already works. I want to get there faster, even if I don't, you know, invent everything myself. And so since so much of the world works on the web these days, and the web is a perfectly good model for calendaring, that's where I started. The reason why the web provides a good basis is because HTTP defines addresses for resources and a way to upload and download resources and delete them. So you can create, modify, and delete resources according to these well-known addresses. This is, as you can see, part of what calendar access means. Start calling those events instead of abstract resources, and HTTP can allow you to create and change and delete events and give you an addressing mechanism for that. The next piece you need is the iCalendar standard for defining the format of those events. Great. That's another RFC, and it's easy to plug those two together. The next piece you need is a way to browse calendars. Somebody sends a URL, which is an address to their calendar, and your client needs to be able to browse the events inside that URL. Because we decided to model each event as having its own URL, you need a way to list them all, and that's the first thing that WebDAV provides. There's some other things that WebDAV provides, like the ability to lock a single event or an entire calendar. So multi-author calendars become absolutely possible and feasible. You don't have to worry about somebody else changing the event while your client is viewing it and you're considering what changes to make. It reduces the concurrency problems of multiple authors. Another spec that's called part of WebDAV, although it's and it certainly relies on WebDAV as well, is the WebDAV access control spec. That's another RFC already, and it describes how to set the permissions on any resource or an entire collection. So being able to make your calendar readable to the public or readable to a select set of people is obviously terrifically useful in calendaring. And once I've listed all these features that you get with these existing RFCs, there's actually very little left to do to make it work specifically for calendaring. We finally settled on a narrow number of features to add to that suite of existing standards. One such feature is the ability to query somebody's busy time. One reason is for performance, because I don't want to download 10 people's calendars in order to see when to schedule those 10 people for a meeting. I just want to see when they're busy in the next 10 days. Another reason to have free busy calculation part of the calendar extensions is because it might be possible for me to see somebody's free busy information, even if I'm not allowed to see their full event information. So I can see that they're busy from 3 to 5, but I'm not sure if they're in a meeting or if they've gone to the dentist or if they've gone off to play flag frisbee. The next feature we added for calendaring was the ability to query the full calendar, but for a limited period of time. The ability to browse a calendar, not according to what resource addresses are, but when the events are. It's another way to browse the same resources that exist in that WebDAV collection. And it's important for navigating quickly to somebody's calendar that you don't already have synchronized and just seeing what's on this week. That's particularly important for mobile devices, which can't afford to synchronize whole calendars or make lengthy synchronization requests.
Is the goal for me to learn about invitations to things in my own calendar or to receive emails that I then respond to, or both?
I think the answer is both, certainly for now. Existing email clients use IMIP, and it's mostly interoperable. The problems you experience with email invitations are partly a matter of trying to synchronize documents that are sent around in email, which is inherent to the problem of synchronizing stuff sent around in messages. And the other problem you sometimes see is one of interpreting the calendar event inside the invitation. But since that still mostly works, we want to preserve that and allow new clients to continue to interoperate with clients like Microsoft Outlook and Lotus Notes, which already do send those invitations. But in the long run, we can do better than that kind of messaging approach. The messaging approach, for example, doesn't allow you to see somebody's busy time, and it doesn't allow you to tentatively place something on their schedule. If you could send an invitation to somebody's calendar server, you could do both of those things. See when they're free and tentatively place a meeting in their calendar. So even if they haven't had a chance yet to review your invitation and accept it, they may still allow other people to see that they've been tentatively scheduled so that they don't, while they're in a plane somewhere, get two conflicting meeting invitations.
So let's talk about the OSAF projects, particularly Cosmo. Cosmo is the server component, and it's built on something called JackRabbit. What is JackRabbit?
Well, JackRabbit is an Apache incubator project, fairly recently started, but already has a lot of momentum due to the fervor of its participants. It's a reference implementation of the Java Content Repository API. JCR is what it's typically called, or you may hear it called JSR 170, because it was proposal number 170 in the Java standards review process. I think that's what it's called. So JCR is a Java API to allow you to talk to a content repository in a standard way, even if that content repository is not a SQL database. It can be a hierarchical repository storing file bodies, and this is a much more natural way to address that kind of repository. JackRabbit already supports JCR, JSR 170, and it also supports WebDAV, because JCR was designed with WebDAV in mind. Any repository that implements one has a good chance of having a solid, clean model with which to implement the other, and JackRabbit set out doing both right from the start.
The goal right now for Cosmo is to have 10,000 users on a server within a year?
That's certainly what we hope to do. We're working on that. We're also adding features, so we hope that we won't have to work only on performance and scalability in the next year. Because we're starting from JackRabbit, and a lot of the robustness and stability characteristics depend on JackRabbit and therefore on Tomcat and Apache, so we're starting from a good basis.
Cosmo also tackles the problem of cross-site authentication, and you have something called tickets that's somewhat of a workaround for that, or can you explain that?
Yes, cross-site authentication is very difficult. If two people work in two different server or service areas, they each have accounts on their own server or service, and they can't even identify the other person to their own server or service. You can't say, you know, allow Scott Mace to view my calendar if Scott Mace doesn't have an account on my server. So there are proposals for doing federated identity systems so that I could, in some day, say to my server, allow Scott Mace from this other system to view my calendar. So talk to this other system and make sure that he's authenticated there. But in the meantime, since this stuff is still highly evolving and it's working for web applications with web form sign-ons, but it's not solidly tied into HTTP in a standard way yet, while we're waiting for that bright future to arrive, we're working on something that's much more simplistic and not nearly as secure. That feature we're calling tickets. It's a way of sending somebody else, irrespective of their identity, a ticket, a privilege, a permission to see a resource. It can be very limited in that way, so you could, in theory, create a ticket just to see one event. But the way we're using it right now is that we create tickets to allow other people to see a whole calendar. So sending that token, that opaque token, off to the other person will allow them to go to the website and view the calendar, or if their calendar client supports CalDAV, to go in through the standard protocol and still use the ticket and view the calendar. It's just like a ticket you hand at a baseball stadium where the guy doesn't check your identity, you've got the ticket, you can get in. You could have given that ticket to someone else. And there's where the real weakness of tickets are in the internet world, is that you can make infinite numbers of copies of those tickets. So a ticket could get out and be distributed everywhere and everybody could see your calendar. But in practice, most people's calendars don't get exposed that widely, and a problem ticket can be revoked as soon as you notice. So the exposure and risk is somewhat limited in practice.
There's a project over at Novell called Hula. It sounds like they're also building an open source calendar server. How does what you're building compare with Hula, and how do they complement each other?
Hoola is in fact building an email and calendar open source server to support CalDAV as well as other protocols. I've met Dave Camp, who is the Hoola developer working on the CalDAV stuff, and he came to an interop, and that worked quite well. As an open source email calendar server solution, Hoola could be competition to Cosmo, but we don't tend to look at it that way. It's a wonderful ecosystem of open source software, and we all get great ideas from each other. We didn't need an email server in Cosmo because a lot of people who might want to use Chandler and share their stuff already had email servers and aren't contemplating replacing those. We also were looking for something that would be a little easier to extend, and Cosmo is Java-based, whereas, if I understand correctly, Hoola is C-based. And it has a rich but legacy code base that, while it supports, you know, a lot of email and calendar functionality already, has got to be a little harder to extend with custom in-house applications.
There's also a movement to build a calendar microformat called H-Calendar, initially over at Technorati. Does H-Calendar fit into these standards that are emerging in the rest of the calendaring world?
H-Calendar can certainly fit in with CalDAV and other efforts. It's quite complementary. If you have a web page with a calendar posted on the web page, that calendar might also be available over CalDAV, and you might want a way to advertise that. But it's also trivial to add the calendar semantics into the web page so that browsers can scrape that data and present a useful interface to the browsing client. Actually, I've been talking to Tantec about microformats that would allow you to know when a calendar happened to be a CalDAV-compliant calendar, because we think that would be pretty cool. There shouldn't be barriers between finding out the web view of something and the data machine-readable view of something. It should be easy to go from one to another. And we've got some work to do there, but that's the idea.
There's obviously a large universe of users and third parties surrounding Microsoft, Outlook, and Exchange. For instance, last week I was at Reardon Commerce, which has built a pretty nifty calendaring application that only works with Outlook and Notes. You've worked at Microsoft. You understand things from their perspective. How do we bridge what gaps there are between the Microsoft Outlook Exchange view of calendaring and what's going on in the standards groups and the open source world?
Well, there are lots of possibilities. We don't know what kind of timetable, if any, Microsoft has for adopting standards, and that kind of intention can change from year to year and from VP to VP anyways. But outside of Microsoft, there are still things that people can do. Oracle, for example, has built a Microsoft Outlook connector so that if you install this add-on to Outlook, it allows you to talk to the Oracle calendar server, thus creating interoperability at the expense of, you know, a great deal of coding on the part of Oracle developers and a little client extension that you have to create. But that allows Outlook to start to play in spaces where it couldn't before. Another example of this is Evolution's hardly won Exchange interoperability.
And now Microsoft is talking about extensions that will open up some of their applications, particularly in the Windows Vista timeframe. You've listened to some of their thoughts. There's something called SSE. Does that show some promise?
It absolutely does, because if Microsoft opens up their protocols in any way, that allows people to build tools to work with that. I don't believe it's as good as supporting a common standard, but it at least opens it up a little bit. SSE in particular, although I'm not sure that the synchronization stuff is going to be widely used and useful for as many things as they think it is, this is still the early days of SSE, and we've got a lot to learn about how people want to use it. I do believe that the concept of putting event information in RSS feeds, that basic idea is very powerful, and we'd like to play with that in Cosmo ourselves. So expect to see cool tools built around syndication and calendars.
I believe you likened the functional spec for CalDAV to something akin to .Mac, but free and under user control. Is that pretty accurate?
Well, .Mac is a really cool service. It's actually web dev. It doesn't have, on the server side, as far as I understand, any calendar-specific functionality. What a .Mac account gets you is a server storage account where you can do backups, where you can publish your calendar, and this is all really cool. I've talked to the .Mac server developers, and they're also very smart. We want to make that kind of thing even more available to people. Right now, a .Mac account costs a certain amount per year, and people who already have their own servers understandably don't want to pay that kind of yearly account service. They just want to run the software on their own servers. Not only does that save the account fee, that also gives them more control over their server features, their server availability, their own data backups, and that kind of thing.
But I gather in the long term, there'll still be role for companies like Trumba that basically you pay them money every year and they take care of all the calendar sharing and synchronization, even on the PC.
I expect so, yes. There are a huge number of people who want to use digital calendaring in some form. And if they use Trumba and can still send invitations and to other people and view the calendars of other people, then they're happy and everybody else is happy.
What about mobile devices? It's my experience that calendar sharing on mobile devices is all over the map. Some telephones come with calendars that have virtually no information on how to even get the calendar info off the phone. Some devices are running Windows Mobile and practically expect you to have Outlook in order to bridge between the mobile device and any other calendar in the net. Is any of the work that you're doing going to make it easier for mobile devices in general to share calendars with other things?
Yes, I do hope it will. Today's technology for getting a calendar to a mobile device is SyncML. Unless it's a proprietary protocol, it's probably SyncML. And SyncML works for getting your PC to talk to your mobile device and get one calendar there. You can also set up the mobile device to talk SyncML to a server. There are internet protocol bindings for SyncML. So there's also that possibility. But I don't believe that that is the future of mobile device calendaring. I believe the future for that is that the mobile device will want to contact a calendar server directly and synchronize possibly more than just one calendar. There should be no reason why you can't synchronize your spouse's or your boss's calendar as well as your own to the mobile device. And right now, SyncML and existing mobile devices don't really allow that. Another thing you want to be able to do is send invitations when you're on the road. And the most direct way to do that, when you have a CalDAV server that supports the scheduling stuff that we're working on next, will be to send that invitation to the server and have the server fan out that invitation to all of the attendees who can receive it nearly real time. That's a much richer future than what we have today.
A lot of the Web 2.0 calendar services that have popped up also employ tags. What do you think the role of tags is in calendaring in general?
That's a great question. I don't know. The great thing about allowing services and clients to talk to each other and to servers is that we'll allow for more experimentation along those lines. It's really frustrating that there's been so little experimentation in calendar and scheduling technology in the last 10 years because it's been so monoculture. But opening that up to experimentation and competition ought to show us all kinds of cool things. Who knows if it's tagging or intelligent agents or instant messaging being used to schedule meetings, or it could be anything.
I could see a future where we have lots of interesting calendar mashup applications between different calendars and services.
I agree.
What about Google Base? Have you looked at that? The reason I ask that is it has an event creation function. So basically, it acts as like a classified service, and you can create an event, and then it's up on some Google web page somewhere. But since it's an event, it would seem to be something that should be shareable across the web and not just accessible through Google. Have you even looked at that yet?
No, I haven't looked at that, but it does sound somewhat similar to EVDB, which is now called Eventful, and Upcoming.org. And I've met people from both EVDB and Upcoming. One of the challenges for people building huge databases of event calendars is how to expose those over a standard in a way that any client can access them. One of the decisions we had to make to keep CalDAV simple was to constrain all of the events in one calendar to exist in a collection that modeled that calendar. In a large database of events, you might find the same event appearing on more than one calendar. you might find an event appearing on my calendar, as well as the calendar of the dance association and the calendar of the venue that's hosting that dance. So they'll have to figure out some ways to hook those together behind the scenes so that anybody browsing to any one of those calendars can see the same event regardless.
Are we going to have spam and calendaring services?
Undoubtedly. I don't know what we'll call it yet. There's a cool name for spam and instant messaging, which is SPIM. And I'm just waiting for the day when somebody coins a cute name for spam in event scheduling.
We'll have to hold a contest. So back to OSAF and Chandler, Cosmo, and Scooby. We haven't talked a lot about Chandler or Scooby. Can you just give our listeners a brief update on where those are all in the pipeline and how listeners can become engaged with those projects?
Absolutely. Chandler is the flagship project of OSAF, the one that was started when OSAF itself was started. It's an integrated email, calendar, and task client, or it will be when we've got the email and the task stuff up to speed. Today, we are working on releasing 0.6 version of Chandler, which will have experimentally usable calendar client functionality. And that's already quite a lot for some people. And when we get the kinks worked out of that, we hope people will use it just for calendaring. And then as we add richer and well-integrated task and email features for that, it becomes even more powerful. One of the important things to note is that Chandler is a platform for personal information management, as well as an email calendar task client. So we hope to see people adding their own value. And that's one way we hope people will participate, by writing their own parcels and distributing them through us or on their own. Of course, since Chandler is open source, we fully hope people will participate directly as well. And we've already got some people. This fall, we've had people participating on our design list and helping us test and internationalize Chandler. The Scooby project is much less mature. It's has not been released yet. We have two developers working on what will be possibly called a 0.1 version of it. But our intent is for it to be, first of all, a calendar web UI that talks to the Cosmo server. So for a work group that's decided to share calendars over Cosmo, they don't all have to use Chandler. They can use Sunbird as well, because that's a CalDAV client, and they can use a web application as well if they don't even want to install software, but they still want to be able to go to their office calendar and add their PTO time.
There's also a couple of other groups we haven't mentioned, Calcify and CalConnect. What role are they playing?
I'm involved in both of those groups. Calcify is an IETF working group. It's the calendaring and scheduling simplification effort. We chose the Calcify name to be cute. We are taking the iCalendar standard and revising it so that it's more solid, less ambiguous, simpler, so that we cut out the features that people haven't implemented and make the remaining specification much more interoperable. This is going along with interoperability tests, which are being done in the Calendar Consortium. The Calendar Consortium is an independent organization. You can find them at calconnect.org. They charge for membership, but it's worth the fee. They provide high value for the membership fee because they organize interoperability events for iCalendar and CalDAV technologies and other calendar standards should they emerge. They have meetings 3 times a year and discuss how calendaring standards are evolving and what's new in the field and what are the use cases and requirements. One of the things they do is that they get calendar customers together in the same room with calendar vendors. Some of the customers include big universities, which, as I said earlier, are particularly feeling the pain of non-interoperable calendaring. And so CalConnect gets them together in the same room and makes sure they talk to each other and are on the same page. And finally, CalConnect gets these people involved in standards. Sometimes even, you know, some arm twisting goes on in these meetings where we encourage people who have good ideas to write them up and send them to an IETF working group so that they get into the standard, so that it influences the standard, or even twist people's arms to write the next revisions of the specification. All of the IETF work is done entirely through individuals who are volunteers, but it's incredibly valuable work in the long run. And I'm really happy to be getting that investment in calendaring right now.
One last question about Calcify. Can you give me an example of a feature that's being taken out of iCal?
We're in the early days of draft revisions there, but one example that I really hope will be removed and stay out is the by-second recurrence rule. You might not have known it, because why would anybody ever use it in person-to-person calendaring? But there's a way to create a recurrence rule that where it happens every second for a period of time, or every 7 seconds or something bizarre like that. And you shouldn't have to implement code that understands that rule if your use cases are personal calendaring, group calendaring, events that people go to and put on their day-to-day calendars.
Thank you, Lisa, for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much, Scott.
For Opening Move, this is Scott Mace. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Opening Move with Scott Mace. Our audio content is delivered by Limelight Networks, the content delivery network for online broadcasts, music, movies, and software downloads, taking the cost and complexity out of internet distribution on the web at www.limelightnetworks.com. IT Conversations is listener-supported, so please contribute to our tip jar. 100% of your donation will go to our team of volunteers who produce these programs for you in their spare time. The website editor for this program was Scott Mace. Post-production audio by Paul Figiani. My name is Doug Kay, and I hope you'll join me next time for another edition of Opening Move with Scott Mace on IT Conversations.